special spot. The side there, yeah.
Happy New Year to you too.
Making sure everybody's got one of these.
All that comes about, so there's about to come to my house.
Good to see you. It'll be great to see both of you well, the same.
I'd like one. Yeah, no, I just gotta work too much, man. I got inspired by some guy told me to do it. It'll all come around though. You know when you get in there,
hey, yeah, I have 6:30. It's on?
That's a little different than what you told me.
Are y'all ready?
Sir. How are you been? Happy New Year. Good to see you.
The audio's already on. So the audio's
starting. That's all we're expecting. Much better. How do you think it's going to be? I'm positive. I am too. I mean it.
Good evening. Can I have everyone's attention, please? Good evening. I would like to call the Cumberland County Board of Supervisors, Planning Commission, and Economic Development Authority joint workshop to order. Roll call, Ms. Griff, please.
Okay, I'm going to do the Board of Supervisors first. So, Mr. Hanlett?
Here.
Mr. Newman?
Here.
Ms. Tyree?
Here.
Mr. Stinson?
Here.
Mr. Saunders?
Here.
Okay, next we're going to do EDA. Mr. Seal?
Here.
Mr. Ennis?
Here.
Ms. Boswell? Mr. Brooks?
Here.
Mr. Mozingo?
Here.
And Ms. Caputo, let me know she wasn't going to be here. Okay, Planning Commission. Mr. Rosen?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Donahue?
Here.
Mr. Seal?
Here.
Mr. Allen?
Yeah.
Mr. Harry Donahue? Mr. Meadows?
Yes.
Mr. Flippin?
At this time, we will have invocation for the election.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, as we plan for the future, we seek your wisdom. Inspire our ideas and help us create strategies that align with your will. Yes. Guide us in making decisions that honor you and benefit everyone involved. Amen. Amen.
At this time, we stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, do I have approval of the agenda for the Board of Supervisors?
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Hanlett?
Aye.
Mr. Newman?
Aye.
Ms. Tyree?
Aye.
Mr. Stinson?
Aye.
Mr. Saunders?
Aye. And we'll have the Planning Commission.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Rosen?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Donahue?
Yes.
Mr. Seal?
Yes.
Mr. Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Meadows?
Yes.
EDA?
Motion approved.
So moved. Second.
Mr. Steele?
Yes.
Mr. Ennis?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Mozingo?
Yes.
Well, good evening, members of the board, members of the Planning Commission, members of the EDA, esteemed guests, staff, county attorney, Derek Stamey, county administrator, and it's my pleasure to bring to you some critical updates as it relates to the county and to provide some information and background on existing projects and future projects so that we all can be aware of what's going on and can collaborate with one another to ensure that we have a clear path forward for our calendar year 2026. Needless to say, there's a lot of things going on. I'm going to move through this The first part, you've already worked through the agenda, but we're going to be going through quite a bit of information. And the goal is for this to be interactive, to stop, to ask questions, clarification. If we can't answer them here this evening, we'll follow up with you. But the main thing is to have constructive dialogue. So I'm going to be covering a lot of ground. I may be speaking pretty quickly. If you need me to go back over some things, just let me know. But I'm going to dive right into it. I wanted to start off with doing a high-level overview of our budget process for the fiscal year 27. So that would be July 1st, 2026 through June 30th of 2027. I wanted to start with the comprehensive annual financial report. That report was presented at the board meeting, the rescheduled board meeting on December 22nd, 2025. And the good news is the county's fund balance increased from $10.8 million to $12.45 million. Fund balance remains strong at a shade under 59% of general fund revenues. And by comparison, I just wanted to give you kind of a window, a rear view look, so to speak, of what we've accomplished and how far we've come with our funds. By comparison to FY20, we were at $7.08 million in fund balance, equivalent to 33.38% of general fund revenue. So we've seen an increase in that, and obviously that's a good thing. No issues found as part of the audit and presentation to the board. I do want to commend county and school staff for their efforts on their spending and managing their funds. I've said this over and over again. We have some of the tightest department heads I've ever worked with. So they do a really good job of making sure that they spend the county's money in a well-spent manner. As part of the budget process, we started it a little bit early this year. So I did present the CIP to the Planning Commission at your November 2025 meeting. We're going to touch on that tonight so that everyone has a snapshot of what was presented at that meeting. But before we do that, I want to talk about the budget process itself. This is the budget schedule for FY27. We have merged the schedule of the public school system with the county's budget so that it's clearly understood when deliverables and expectations are as far as workshops and meetings. We do plan on having our first budget workshop on January 27th, the admin building conference room. Some other noticeable changes to this calendar include some of the budget workshops are going to be during the actual day, beginning at 10 a.m. in the morning, primarily on February 17th and 19th, where we will hold budget meetings from 10 to however long they last, probably 3 or 4 in the afternoon. The joint Board of Supervisors and School Board budget workshop, typically held in February, we've moved that to March to give them additional time to budget appropriately as well. We would open the budget would open the public hearing and present the budget at 7 p.m. on April 7th, and then hold the public hearing, close the public hearing 2 weeks later. In that window of that 2 week window, we would seek any type of feedback and additional information that the board may have to make the budget their own. So I'm going to back up a second. We're going to post that on the county website for transparency purposes, just so the public knows what the schedule is as well. Some updates as it relates to the CIP, our process, and our current projects and initiatives. Again, the CIP for 27 was presented to the Planning Commission on November 17th. Sewer pump station project. This project is going to outfit five of our pump stations, our sewer pump stations, with generators. You may not know this, but 12 of our pump stations, only two have generators. So they're very tough to get to. Some pump stations need a generator more than others, and we're actually able to fund this, and it was identified in the CIP to be spread out over several years to fund this. We're actually able to fund this through a National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant for just over $400,000. The project's about 50% completed. I know that we've gotten one reimbursement from them, and once the work's completed, we'll wrap up the reimbursement and close out that grant sometime at the end of February and early March. Our new ambulance, which was 70-30 funded through an RSAF grant, that ambulance has actually been completed and it should have been shipped today to Goodman. Goodman Truck and Tractor is going to go over that vehicle, ultimately send it to Clarksville where it will get decaled. Once that's done, it will be delivered to the county. We expect to receive that in early February as well. So that ambulance cost a shade over $360,000, 70-30 split. The grant covered $252,000, the county covered the rest. We do have a sewer line repair that's been identified in the CIP for several years. That contract has been awarded. It's actually for a sewer line issue that's located along Route 6 in between the Shell station and the tire shop there on Route 60. I'm sorry. We have a not-to-exceed contract in place with the vendor, not-to-exceed $297,000. That project could take 30 to 60 days to complete. There is going to be extensive coordination with VDOT and a public education campaign so that everybody knows what's going on with the roadway. We do expect that project to begin in the spring. We're hoping to squeeze it in this fall, but it got cold a lot earlier than a lot of people expected this year, and it in essence closed the asphalt plants down, and we didn't want to risk having a big hole in the ground on the side of Route 60. So I'm gonna do my best.
Yeah, you good.
Not shield you from the presentation. Some other projects include the Cumberland Elementary School roof. You may recall the board, when they adopted the current year budget, they did set aside committed $450,000 to help pay for the roof replacement on the elementary school roof. We did rework the specs and brought that price down from what we had anticipated to be over $1 million at one point. We've gotten the cost down to around $400,000 to $450,000. So we are looking at utilizing some cooperative contracts to get three bids, which would include the design component of this, the tear off of the existing roof, and the replacement. So we would hope to have that before the board for award sometime in the spring with a summer completion so that we can do that when the students are out of school. The Luther P. Jackson gym roof, we still haven't nailed down the best way to move forward with that roof. We're going to go through the same process that we will with the elementary school roof, where we'll do an analysis with three cooperatively procured vendors to give us options. But the range is from $400,000 to $1 million+ on that roof. And we're not 100% committed just yet on it. We want to bring something back to the board in the future. So the radio system project, that is a debt service funded project, and we're looking at a shortfall right now of approximately $50,000 to complete. And I'm gonna show you a flow chart and give you an update on that project as well in the next slide. Looking over to the right, you can see we talked about the current unassigned fund balance, which was presented as part of the CAFR, $12,450,348. When you back out some of these items that we are committed to, whether it's the 30% of the new ambulance, the sewer line repair, the elementary school roof, and the shortfall in the radio, it does take your balance down to 11.6, but that's still a very healthy fund balance, especially given where you were the year before. You're still clocking in at about $800,000 more than what you closed out with the year before. I'll stop there if anybody has any questions. Okay. This is a flowchart related to the radio system. This is a flowchart that's been developed between the county and the Virginia State Police. They are the ones really driving the schedule at this point. We've done the majority of the work that the county needs to do. We do have to handle some administrative tasks related to MOUs with some of our surrounding jurisdictions for fire and EMS and the ability to communicate radio interoperability. I believe we've nailed down three, and we're working on three more. We're also in the process of completing all of our fleet mapping and channel layout. It's going to be very heavy on the EMS side because that's the most sophisticated. From there, the sheriff's office and animal control, and you can see I've laid all of this out just as a way to illustrate how this is going to flow. This was updated literally yesterday. I put today is when I updated, but the timeline, I met with the state police yesterday, and they are looking at the radio install shifting to more of a March to May time frame, and then there's a troubleshooting 90-day window beginning in June through August. So it's the time frame's shifted out a little bit, but that's really being driven by the state police. Any questions before I move on? Okay. Some upcoming projects for consideration under the CIP. This is what was shared with the Planning Commission This will be shared with the board in a much more detailed manner in an upcoming budget workshop, including funding mechanisms, other projects, and debt service. But included in this lump sum here that you see, it includes vehicle replacements, HVAC cycles, paving at convenience centers, self-contained breathing apparatus for volunteer fire departments, some server refreshes, IT switch replacement, boiler upgrades, all kinds of items for the schools as well. You can see that the request came in at $3.8 million, and we're anticipating potential grant funding. And again, a lot of what we do in the CIP is contingent on grant funding, and we note that when we approve it. A grant funding of $685,000, so the remainder would have to be funded at just under 3.1. We got some donation funding, and that's contingent funding as well. Some good news, I haven't updated this yet, but we do feel that we have an upcoming E911 grant that we feel confident in that may pay for about 40% of our IT switch replacement related to public safety. So that will carve out hopefully about $65,000 worth of that item. My hope is to have that updated for you all at the next CIP presentation. I touched on grants. It's a huge part of how we fund a lot of our projects and initiatives. For FY26, so far, the county's already been awarded over $600,000 in grant funding, and since FY25, awarded over $2 million. So we've done a good job with that. We have some current grant applications currently in progress, small area plan. I'm going to touch more on that in a little bit. We are awaiting an award on that. We did not get the second half award of that grant, but we did apply for a third. And I just back-to-back applied for two T-Mobile community grants as well. Any questions on the budget overview before we move forward?
Yeah. I know you're leaving and we're sorry to see you go. But is the next person prepared to take this on, or whoever is going to stand in momentarily to take this on?
Well, the key is to put it in a position to where it's a smooth handoff and transition. And I think we're positioning ourselves for that. A lot of what you see is already in progress, and staff can back me up here. A lot of what you see is in progress, and a lot of the grant opportunities are about halfway through, and you're going to close those out. But we've got to put whoever comes in next, put them in the best position possible to be successful.
I don't doubt you or them. I just, you know what I'm saying? Like, the transition. Are they going to be the same person that you are? Probably not. We hate to see you go.
That's very flattering, but you can do a lot better than me. So, any other questions?
Yes.
All right. Moving on, the next item we have is related to a very hot topic right now, and that's the grocery store and the performance agreement. Related to the grocery store, just wanted to get everybody in the room so that we can have this discussion with all of the impacted bodies. Before we get into it, I just want to be very clear. The grocery store is not owned or operated by Cumberland County. We are not in the grocery business. Second thing is, the interest-free loan is through the EDA. The EDA is the holder of the loan. The board cannot lend money. The board is appropriating the money to the EDA. And the EDA's role is to provide opportunities for economic development in Cumberland County. So I just want to get all that out there. I know there's a lot of talk and speculation, but that's the foundational piece there. So why a grocery store? When you look at our comprehensive plan process from, 2 years ago, I can't believe it's been that long. Question number 4, what is challenging about living and working in Cumberland County? Access to groceries and shopping, 83%. By far. The second ranking was limited job availability at 60. Question 5, what is missing? What do you wish Cumberland had more of? Overwhelmingly, 87% say grocery store. So, again, the citizens have provided this feedback to us during the comprehensive plan process, and we utilize this feedback to make this a priority. The effort does include not only local government, but state, but private sector. There's a private sector component, obviously, and multiple state-level agencies coming together to solve an identified need in a community. So we utilized 2 grants for this project. the AFID Infrastructure Grant and the Virginia Tobacco Commission Catalyst Grant. And I believe this is one of the first Catalyst grants that have been awarded. So if you look at the AFID awards from in Virginia from 2012 to 2022, this came straight from the governor's website. These are all of the type of projects that have been awarded across the state. Let's see here. Over $12 million to assist new and expanding Virginia companies with over 4,000 jobs generating, let's see, that's a billion, $1.4 billion in capital investments. So you can see it's broken down by ag processing, craft beverage, forestry, but you can see all these different projects throughout the state. So this isn't unique to this. We're doing this all the time, and it would be nice to have a little star right there. The Commonwealth, again, has a history of grant funding projects. This is the Virginia Tobacco Commission. It's actually, they've got what they call the Southern and the Southwestern program, broken into two regions. Examples include fruit and vegetable processing. The award was for $50,000, funded through the EDA in Carroll County. Floyd County, $23,000 for meat processing capacity. Meat processing, smoker, and freezer expansion in Franklin County through their EDA, and then farmers markets improvements and cold storage in Fauquier County for about $7,500. So there's a wide range of projects that can get approved. So that being said, we went after both of those grants to leverage one another. And both of those grants require a cash match. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. But what I wanted to do was to share how this grocery store was going to operate from a floor layout, and the proprietors here and the owner of the properties here to be able to answer any questions. But it's my understanding the operating hours would be Monday through Sunday. I certainly don't want to speak for them, so if anyone's got questions, 7 to 8 p.m. You can see the layout there. It's the old Cumberland Hardware building across from the administration building. They're going to have fresh produce areas, dairy, meats, drinks, frozen foods, canned and canned dry goods. They're going to have a butcher and fresh meat area. They've added an office and restrooms to the back. There's going to be storage areas here to the rear, and also a deli area and seating area. And one of the focuses is going to be on utilizing locally produced fruits, vegetables, meat processing, etc. And Travis, I'll let you weigh in if you feel comfortable doing so. And it's a large group of people, but you know, give us your perspective on how you see it operating and some of the unique aspects of it.
Well, like we talked before, you know, something new that we're getting into. We haven't done it, but we've talked to people that has in the past, and they ran it from the 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. And that's when they had their best clientele coming in, doing the most shopping. As we go through this, and it's a learning experience for us, we'll probably have to adjust some things as we go into it. And like you said, it's going to be more of a fresh market grocery store. Fresh meats, fresh fruits and vegetables. This could be everything, you know. I guess you could say it would be more of a fresh store. It would be limited canned and dry foods there.
Gotcha. Now, one thing I did want to point out, when you look at this floor plan and the layout, the money that we're talking about with this grant funding and the interest-free loan does not cover all of this. There's already private investment being made in the renovation of the space and all the other areas. The grant funding is really going to go towards the cooler packages. And I've highlighted that in purple with a star. So yeah, that's really good. It's only funding a portion. So
that's it. I mean, we've already, you know, and I say we, you know, me and my partners, Mike and Andy, and then Jim is the owner of the building and the land. Combined with us three, I mean, we've already spent $250,000 in this store already out of our pocket. I know I've seen things on Facebook, and I wish I could comment on some of them, but I just look back and laugh and just keep scrolling. You know, people are saying that we've already got, you know, $500,000. You know, some say we've got $200,000 or $300,000 already. Why do we need another $300,000? We haven't gotten a penny from anybody. Everything that we've been put into it is out of our pocket. That's our investments. The grant funding and the interest-free that the county or the EDA is talking about helping with, that's only going to go towards the coolers and the freezers and the display in the deli area. That's it. That, you know.
Thank you. And we're going to talk about that interest-free portion in a minute once we get to the performance agreement. But the benefits of the project, it assists in addressing the county's food desert classification. We are classified by the Commonwealth and the federal government as a food desert, and this helps with that. It's one of the attractive things that the Tobacco Commission and VDACs found about this project was that it was going to meet that need. It also addresses a need overwhelmingly identified by residents. Utilizes grant funding from two separate agencies, and it adds to the inventory of businesses in the courthouse area and serves as a catalyst for future EDA endeavors. I mean, this is money that's going to be used by the EDA to help with business, and that's what we've been talking about for quite a while. So, I'm not going to go through this because I've got more information beyond the slide, but this just pulled from the previous board packet. But the performance agreement details, Travis mentioned the interest-free loan. When you look at the two grants, in order to avoid a straight cash match, so when you apply for these grants, the county has to match that dollar for dollar, 50%, 50%. We are foregoing the EDA is foregoing the interest on the loan to provide for that cash match. And Kemper, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a pretty unique way to do this. We work for weeks with both entities trying to make sure that we were able to do it and that we had the language that would allow it to do it. And the company's repayment obligation would be secured by a financing statement on tangible personal property. The EDA can seek judgment and act upon liens if they default. Guarantee of payment is required. The repayment was done through two options. Option one was two lump sum payments or monthly payments beginning in December of 27, amortized over 5 years. So again, you're not using any, you're appropriating money and the EDA is loaning that $300,000 back, but the grants, once they're reimbursed, get credited against the balance. So you're really only talking $150,000, which will get paid back over 5 years. So we've done our best to try to limit the county's exposure throughout this process. I hope I'm doing a good job of explaining this. All right. Performance agreement does have deliverables. The clock has started December 31st, 2026. 90% of targets must be hit. Targets include full-time employees or equivalents, and $400,000 in the capital investment. He said he's already made $250,000. December 31st, 2027, the target's met at 100%. The company can apply for reimbursement of the grant funding to the EDA once they've made the purchase, either received it, have insured it, and can show us pictures. Once approved, it'll be credited against the loan balance. It does align with the grant agreements that we have between the county and VDACs and the Tobacco Commission. The ongoing date of December 31st, again, the deadline can be extended if granted by the EDA. That's not uncommon. The company is required to maintain detailed records, of course. Company would receive $150,000 within 30 days of agreement and board funding appropriation, and the company can apply for the second $150,000 once they demonstrate that the item's purchased. I touched on that earlier. They have that in their possession. So the board did motion on this back at their December 22nd meeting, and it was to appropriate $150,000 to the EDA to fund the first round of the performance agreement and revisit the second half at a later date. That it was seconded and voted on 5-0. So one of the questions was related to the business plan. And I did reach out to Dana Knotts with Longwood Small Business Development Center. She assisted the company with their business plan. And we're actually gonna meet with them. Got a call with her in the morning, and we're gonna meet and just go over everything again and share it with the EDA and the board and tie up any loose ends as it relates to the business plan. But we are doing our due diligence. Also, I mentioned seed money earlier through the EDA. It is County Administration's recommendation that if the board fully funded this and appropriated the $300,000, then once those funds are paid back to the EDA, that it remains there. So that this can be a catalyst for other projects that the EDA may want to fund as well. So you can see this is kind of a springboard for other opportunities. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions.
comment, if I may. So my name is Jim Ferrugio, folks. I am the person that purchased that building from Jack Clark a few years ago. As you all know, it's sitting there empty for a few years after I purchased it. And my goal is to invest in the county. I live in Goochland now, but my daughter went to Longwood. I've been making a lot of real estate investments there. And I hope to, after Derek and, I'm sorry, the gentleman that Travis and Mike invest into this property and hopefully have success with this. I know they also plan on food service in that space, so that deli be a place that you can come and sit down and eat in the building. Also, hopefully, we'll do a little patio back so people could sit there. And I own the property all behind it. And I hope that this becomes a springboard for maybe future investments and anything else the county might need. So I have 13 acres total back there. So to answer the viability of the grocery store, if we can develop some whatever use in the back that the county might need, could also help the grocery store become successful as well. But we know that's something that the people hopefully in the county need and want. So we'll start with that.
What has the county done, anything, to let the people of Cumberland know how the county and the EDA are supporting this project? Because all we ever see on social media is county doesn't want to market, county's not doing anything, county's not doing anything. Here's proof that the county is doing quite a bit. And I think the word needs to get out to the people there so that they'll see that.
Well, we've done press releases related. There's been multiple press releases related to the effort. Anytime a milestone's been hit, we've sent one out, which also it's going out through text alert. If the newspaper picks it up, great. I know that they did pick it up, but even then, some of the information that was in the article today wasn't exactly accurate.
I'd send a press release, and I know newspapers are always looking for things to print.
We try.
Interesting.
But you also don't, until you get some of these things codified, you don't want to release too much information, because then if it doesn't materialize, then people are expecting one thing and they get something else. So.
Okay.
But I would anticipate a robust announcement as we move forward. We were actually trying to, I would anticipate a ribbon cutting, some pictures somewhere along the way, and we'll do our best to help, promote it. We want to see it be, we want every business to be successful. So, especially one that we've worked with in this manner.
So. I did have one comment. And John Cito, chairperson of the EDA, I think it's, somebody that's grown up and just made a choice to live in Cumberland County, going from 3 grocery stores as a child to none for the last time, to be able to have the opportunity again to have a locally owned and supported grocery store is something that is such a big deal that doesn't happen. You can get a multinational conglomerate to come in here and they can pay minimum wage jobs, but I think that really shows that the people that are investing the money into this, and the county is investing the money into this, it's truly needed. Somebody that has, my family has a lot of experience with the food desert and the needs of the county, and it is something that is obviously, as from our research, is one of the top priorities of citizens of the county. So I just think it's really important that we support it, and that everybody faces it with a glass half full, and that it's not going to be a perfect or easy process, but that's what everybody sticks together. If we can make it work, I think we're going to be in a better, happier place as a county because of that.
I would like to say, as chairman of the board, you said that there's a lot of negative things on Facebook, a lot of incorrect information on Facebook. But those of us who know better need to inform others of correct information, accurate information, and spearhead, cut off some of this negativity, because if we do not speak up and give people facts, tell them right from wrong, then they will continue to spread the negativity and people will continue to believe it. And so those of us, this room is full of people, enough people to go out and tell the truth, and let everybody know that we are supporting the grocery store and how the funds are being given. Not that the citizens, the Board of Supervisors taking $300,000 of the citizens' taxpaying money to support the grocery store. We need to give facts on how the county is supporting the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So we need to do our part.
I just have a comment. I'm Angela Gaines Mullins. I've been here since I was two, and I've been in retail management my whole adult life. So I know this is needed. Like I said, I've been here since I was two. It's a long time ago. And we just have so many people behind us. I think it's going to do really well.
Anybody else? All right. Next item is going to be relatively, maybe quick, I don't know. Just an update on the Valco Investments rezoning case 25-01. For those of you who don't know what Valco is, it's the Dollar General. At the December 22nd, 2025 board meeting, the board voted to table the public hearing indefinitely regarding their application for a rezoning at the intersection of Route 60 and Blenheim Road. We are slated, I say we, county staff, it's Mr. Beasley and Ms. Johnson and myself, slated to have a meeting. We had discussions with them earlier this week, but we're going to have another one hopefully tomorrow to discuss the recent vote, proper language. They are pushing a request to set a public hearing, expressed a desire for February, but until they can come back with what's been asked, we'll see what happens. More to come. Just stay tuned, okay, because there's a lot of things up in the air right now. So, any questions on that before I jump into the Planning Commission and Economic Development review? Yes, sir.
What exactly, in summary, has been asked?
Do you want to take a stab at that?
you mean by the board at the last meeting? I think, and that can be corrected, I think the what was requested is that the proper language address some state regulations more specifically. And there's also been the request of whether or not Valco would be willing to do the TIA prior to the CUP being, the rezoning being voted on. So those are the two things that Valco is addressing.
All right. I'm going to make you go cross-eyed in a minute. Okay, so Planning Commission Economic Development Work Plan. I'm kind of calling this a combined community development work plan as it relates to our ED activities and Planning Commission. Really, this first slide is just, I don't want to say shock and awe. That's a bad expression. But these are a lot of the items that are listed in the Economic Development Strategic Plan, which hasn't been approved yet. So this is all draft right now. Okay, so don't get too hung up on this just yet. But then you really need to dovetail what planning and zoning is working on as well as what you're doing economic development wise. So I'm showing you this so that we can move to this slide and talk about recommended priorities for the community development work plan. I think this is where we need to have some more dialogue as to what the priorities are for the county and staff moving forward. I touched on this being the flow chart for the economic development plan. What's the status of that? So the EDA strategic plan was presented in draft format at an EDA meeting. I believe it was November. The days are all running. Might have been September even. Seeking general feedback from EDA members. We've shared this plan. We've been working on it for probably a year. It's a grant-funded project. Been working with the consultant on this. And again, we've presented this to the EDA. We've shared it with the Extension Office. Actually presenting this to the Farm Bureau Monday evening to get feedback from them. I've got a hard copy up here that's got red lines on it already. If you want to read it, you might want to wait until it's time to go to bed, help you go to sleep. No, I'm just kidding. But if you want a copy of that, I can get you an electronic version or print you a hard copy. I know we've printed some hard copies for EDA members and others at request. But we are looking for feedback from folks. Any other additional groups that I need to share this with, present to, willing to do so. I would prefer a timeline for adoption to be between March and April. And this would dovetail with our, you may have heard of an agritourism policy that was shared with board members back, I believe, in September or October. That needs to dovetail with this as well, because you really shouldn't have one without the other. And then the EDA's work plan would shift once adopted to mirror the EDA strategic plan, with the exception of like one-off grants and projects and things of that nature. So I'm recommending that as a priority. to get that done and to get feedback from everyone, especially the folks in this room, as to what makes up that plan itself. The second priority is related to code amendments, and you may have heard me talk about this in previous meetings, a small area plan to complete and support these efforts. And Ms. Johnson can add some information as it relates to the code amendments as we walk through this. But the small area plan would include, it's part of a grant application. We've gotten one half of the funding, failed to get the second half, and we've got a third grant application in. It's $52,000 to complete that small area plan for the courthouse area. Continuing our partnerships with schools, that would include our website development, Luther P. Jackson Committee. I'll share more information with that in our website. So, what is the Economic Development Strategic Plan if it's a priority? We call this the plow initiative. You know, what's a plow? It's a large farm implement with one or more blades fixed in a frame, drawn by a tractor or by animals and used for cutting furrows in the soil and turning it over, preparing for the planting of seeds. And that's where we view this. We view our EDA as planting seeds for the future. What does plow stand for? Preserving rural character. Local impacts from diverse resources. We're open for business and opportunity. Most importantly, we're working together for the future. So, I have trademarked this. So, one of the goals of the EDA is for the EDA to establish what's referred to as an agricultural development board. You know, we have a new business task force. We have the Luther P. Jackson Committee. It's really going to be the EDA. One of the recommendations is for the EDA to focus on this so that they can support this plan and support the initiatives. I'm not going to read off all of this, but there's a lot of different things to consider as it relates to marketing, business recruitment, food access, regulations, etc. But this is one of the primary goals. Another goal is finding funding, and you can see grants. I yelled it out there in the corner. We're already doing a lot of this stuff, so we're just, this plan is actually reinforcing a lot of what we're already doing. Supporting small businesses, whether it's creating a Cumberland-grown branding and marketing campaign, logos, grants, and really the EDA and the economic development efforts to be conduits for resources. So, for example, when a business comes to us and says, we want to open X, Y, and Z type of business, what are my resources? We're actually able to meet with them and execute a plan where they can go to Longwood and get a business plan, and then they can go to these two different government agencies and seek grant funding, work with the EDA to promote, find land, things of that nature. All of this is baked into the plan. So we're supporting small businesses because small businesses make the local economy run. Then there's two separate goals for county-led actions, regional activities, the village concept, small area planning. I could literally go through this plan and present for 2 hours, but we don't have 2 hours. I encourage you to read a copy of it and to provide us with feedback and your own recommendations, things we might have missed. So we did mention the agritourism policy, which was shared with the board back in the fall. And the policy was worked on by Mr. Beasley, Ms. Johnson, I believe Robbie Feltz, our building official. And it was really to codify what already exists in Virginia Code section 3.2-6400 through 3.2-6402. Say that three times fast. And 15.2-2288.6. And it provides for definitions for agricultural products, activities, an agritourism professional, farm or ranch. It clearly defines agritourism as activities, events, uses that are not agritourism activities, and then compliance with all of the above. When shared with the board, there were some questions. Wanted to get some additional feedback from Planning Commission, the EDA, board members, other agritourism businesses within the county on this policy as it's written, so that we can take all that information and come back with an agritourism policy that's reflective of that. So, while maintaining the intent of aligning with state code. Did I say that well enough? Okay. Any questions? And we can get copies of this to you. If you're interested in getting a copy, we can get a copy to you. Next steps is presenting this in detail to the Farm Bureau. I guess, Mr. Newman, you're stuck with me Monday night. Integrating feedback on the plan, and again, we'll present all that feedback all together in March to the EDA. Any questions? All right. Any dialogue? one once. Okay. Talked about small area plan, just to give you a rehash of what that is. Again, it's focused on the Courthouse Village. About a 12-month process, involves community feedback relating to the long-term and short-term uses of properties there, redevelopment opportunities. It would engage all of the residents, the businesses, local leadership, nonprofits, anybody who's impacted by those areas of the county. And you might recall, as part of the comprehensive plan, when we updated that a couple years ago, it did identify village areas as a bubble. So it doesn't really call out specific limits or parcels. Small area plan would, which is why it's so important to have this and that engagement, because I wouldn't want the county coloring in my parcel if I wasn't part of that conversation. So, any questions on that?
I'm going to actually do have a question that popped in my head. The town of Warsaw had grants for lots and lots of sidewalks.
Yep.
Do we have any insight into that, what those grants were, how they got?
Absolutely. So the town of Warsaw, if you're not familiar with it, it's just north of Tappahannock, across the river. They went through an extensive grant application process called CDBG, it's Community Development Block Grants, and they were actually able to revitalize the entire downtown area of Warsaw. It's about two blocks worth. And in addition to redeveloping, dilapidated infrastructure into a nice hardware store, a brewery, ice cream, and all kind of, it's a great place to go if you haven't been. But they did do an extensive rework on their walkability. They added sidewalks. They used to have a four-lane stretch, very much like what we have here in the courthouse, where it's just four lanes and everybody's rolling. They actually shortened it to three lanes with a turn lane down the middle, which slowed traffic down. They call it traffic calming, for what it's worth. But it was pretty rough through there. I mean, it was tighter than it is here going through that little town. And they were able to do that. You can do that through VDOT Ready, Set, Go programs, which we've already applied for and gone through. We're a part of the Main Street program, so we have the ability to apply for grants, and there will be opportunities with VDOT to apply for alternative transportation grants as well, which could increase the sidewalk volume.
Do you see that as something that the NEA would work on, or?
I see that more as everyone in this room working on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I see. A small area plan has to involve everybody, because it's multifaceted. It's got a huge planning component. And obviously the board has to have a say in that for long-term planning as well. And then the EDA involved, because there's so much related to it from an economic development. It's residential, it's commercial, it's public spaces, it's all the above. So I think this is a project that really has to have involvement from everybody.
Okay. Yeah, kind of tag on that. One of the things that talk about it is that I think is important about it is getting like a uniform design language. You know, that's something that a lot of towns do really good at, is that it looks uniform when you go in there. Everything is just kind of a hodgepodge. So we don't have a uniform design language, and we do, so it's on everybody's mind. We do a small area plan for the courthouse. It gives us an opportunity to, from planning to the board to EDA, to set the language you want to use to meet the specific aesthetics within the courthouse area, whichever we decide. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct. Two things to remember is that when you're writing it, you don't want to make it cost prohibitive.
Exactly.
Number two, you want to be able to have mechanisms with the EDA and the board and the planning commission, what have you, to have funds available for folks that may already have businesses that may want to upgrade a facade. The Main Street program had a $20,000 Amex grant that's out now for that very one of the very purposes of that. So. Yes, you're right on, but you just have to make sure that you're looking at it.
Yeah, cohesive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Signage and yep. Everything that way, it looks good.
So, anything else? Oh, Shell Building and the Business Park update. You may or may not know we have a Shell Building on Commerce Road sitting on about 56 acres or so, but I wanted to give an update on where we are with that. We've had on and off interest in this. We pursued a lead for a while, and that lead dried up, but we're always looking for opportunities to how to use this building and what its long-term use is, and I just wanted to give everyone a snapshot of where we are. If you're not familiar with it, this is Commerce Road here. This is the transfer station. This is the Shell building here, and some of the lines don't necessarily match up because there's a shadow on the GIS. But you can see our public works and animal shelter area in here and the communications tower. Right now, MBC, that's with an M, is expanding their fiber network all the way from Prince Edward to Louisa County, and it's middle mile fiber. You may know that our broadband process has fiber through Planet Networks and
Firefly.
How can I forget Firefly? But NBC is installing that middle mile fiber all along Route 45. They're using the right of way. So they approached the county about utilizing a hut that Firefly established, gosh, 3 or 4 years ago. They want to add some capacity to that, which would bring over 850 strands of fiber running through the county, which is huge because that gives you capacity and access to anybody that may want to develop that stretch. So right now they're in the process of surveying the property and identifying what their true need is. They're going to come back to the county and want to, obviously they're going to want to purchase, but you lose an opportunity to leverage, you know, what you can get from a private company. So we're looking at adding some redundancy to our communication system through fiber. But also, you know, obviously there's going to be a cost. There also may be a way for us to leverage the need for three-phase power where they would help pay for some of that. So that discussion is ongoing as well. And for the PC's sake, we are going to look to rezone this property to M2 very soon. So it's been on our list. Cobbs Creek Reservoir Water Agreement. We are in negotiations with Henrico County on a water agreement. You may recall that there was a preliminary agreement from back in 2011, and it was never executed. It would include a county daily allotment of raw water of 7 million gallons a day. Conditions on the creation and construction of a potential pump station, if we want to go that route, and the establishment of rates for water usage, which is a complex formula that they come up with related to capital investment, etc. So we're working with Henrico on that now. Being that this is their facility, they're actually looking at making it a potential public amenity for Cumberland residents and visitors to use as well. That would include walking trails, picnic shelters, and restrooms, and it wouldn't be at any cost to us. So I would love to have the water agreement on the February board meeting for consideration if possible, but we'll see. Any questions? I know I'm covering everything. Solar projects update. I wanted to give everyone an update on where we are with solar. It was a hot topic, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. It's kind of waned a little bit, but I wanted to give you an idea of where we are as it relates to our currently approved solar projects. At one point, we were up to 12. Two did not materialize. Those are the Jamerson properties right along Route 60, if you're familiar with it. So 10 approved solar projects currently within the county. The map to the far bottom right is the northern end of the county, and then the map to the top left is zoomed in on the Farmville area. So those aren't to scale, so don't compare them in size. But these projects range from 2 megawatts to 150 megawatts. Two are currently under construction. It's actually, you got three parcels, but it's two projects there on 45 down by New Life Church. Currently under construction, it's done in Rowlett. Estimated completion of fourth quarter 2026. I know you were out there today trudging around doing E&S inspections. How is it? How's it looking?
It's looking really good. Both the Dunn and Rowlett sites are at a final elevation. They do have final stabilization. The racks are up and the panels are going up. They're actually trenching in the electrical lines from the power poles at the very beginning of Route 45 for both of those sites. So I say, you know, fourth quarter 2026, but it's probably likely to be sooner than that, then both of those sites will be finished. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Cobbs Creek is closed out finally. So yes. Awesome. The last permit was closed out.
Yeah.
So moving on to larger scale projects, we have three that are anticipated to begin permitting in 2026. That includes Cox Family Solar. That's just the name of it. That's what we call it. That's the project name. 16 megawatt, Cumberland Solar at 100 megawatt, and Boston Hill at 115. I've highlighted those here with arrows. Now, we do have siting agreements in place with these projects that allow for reimbursement of the permitting, review, inspections, and monitoring of the activities of those projects. So that's one thing that we're going to have to keep in mind as a county as we move forward, that we're utilizing those siting agreements and setting up the escrow accounts and following all the inspections and all the permitting in a way and getting reimbursed for those projects. And the good news is we do have contracts in place through the CRC. About a year ago, we went through and did a cooperative bidding process. So we have a retainer of engineering firms that we can use for that purpose and don't have to go out per project. I'm almost done, y'all. Any questions? Okay. Luther P. Jackson Committee, a lot of good work. You see up there in the top right-hand corner, that is the logo, apparently, for the Luther P. Jackson School. They're the Vikings. And this has actually been one of those projects that you really enjoy. You don't get to enjoy a lot much sometimes, but this has been actually, I really cracked myself up up here. Meeting number 6 of the LPJ committee was held in December. We're going to continue meeting monthly. They've already created a foundation, adopted their bylaws, elected their officers, established their EIN, 501c3. All of that's been approved and they can receive monetary donations. So they've been trucking along. We've developed a partnership with the school system for historical marker on the site. They're going to work on developing class curriculum through the schools for historical research and interpretive displays, as well as working with the county on tourism brochures and website design work. So we're really moving forward on this process. The group has created their form letter and have begun fundraising. Initial letters tied to memorabilia and not fundraising, but they're going to start raising some money here in a few weeks, because they're going to have their first major event. It's the LPJ Legacy Day, April 11, 2026, from 11 to 3. Ms. Tyree, do you want to speak to some of these activities? Okay. They're going to have choirs, food trucks, small businesses in attendance. LPJ is a subgroup of the EDA, so we want to make sure that we're promoting businesses as well. It's going to be history tours, arts and crafts, donations. We're going to have our new ambulance on site. Hopefully we don't have to use it, but we will have that on site for folks to take a look at. We'll have inflatables as well. We're also going to be taking the next couple of months and re-reviewing the facilities and working on a long-term recommendation from the committee on potential adaptive reuse of the school complex. So, lots going on. So with that, I'll be glad to take any additional questions. Talk about priorities. Are these priorities in line with what you all feel are important for the county? Are we on the right track? What do we need to tweak?
Hey, Doug, I have a general question. You know, I've been in Virginia for 35 years. My job takes me across the state and I see a lot of growth. What is the anticipation for growth in Cumberland County? What's the current population? How does everyone here see the county growing? Because you see Powhatan is moving west.
Well, a lot of us rely on Weldon Cooper, which is a public policy arm of UVA, and they give us statistics every year, but you know what they say about statistics? Right now, we're hearing less than, 1%, 2% growth. I don't see that. The numbers don't reflect that when you look at building permits. When you look at how many building permits, I mean, we had, I believe it was 89 new homes last year. The year before, we had 114. I don't think that 2% is really reflective. So I always I'm not going to beat them up, but I always tend to be a little bullish.
But Derek, actually there were some published statistics based on 23 numbers, if I recall, that were, again, published in 24, that showed 2.1% for the county. It's been consistent for several years at 2.1. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that if you look at the single-family growth, it's phenomenal lately. So I have no idea, and it'll probably be a year before we find out. But anyway, the last stats I've got that somewhere, but I'll share it with you. It was 2.1.
Yeah, I figured it was like right around. Usually it's like 1.8 to 2.1, something like that.
So. Yeah.
What are y'all's thoughts on priorities? When you think back to those work plans and flowcharts, do you think we're on the right track? You all comfortable with us moving forward with presenting these to you, a general update at different meetings? I mean, how are you all feeling about it?
Tag in, I feel like I've been talking too much, but I think we all need to, like, it's probably something we all need to digest with you.
Okay.
I think everybody needs to look at that calendar that you have a couple slides back, and that we're all thinking about those items in that time frame, because part of your transition is going to be that calendar, those deliverables, and those measurables. I think that's going to be important for us as you fade away. That, you know, you're out of the picture. And whoever, that's going to be the language you need to be able to do that seamlessly. Yeah, so I think that's all. I think that's it. I think there's a
I'd rather burn out than fade away.
I think, I think some of those items on there, you know, looking at it, planning the board, you know, some highlights there. I mean, obviously the plan, the small area concept, and the Cobbs Creek are of highest priorities, I would imagine.
Okay. That's all I got.
With that being said, no other questions, concerns, or comments, we are going to adjourn the meeting.
Not the board.
Not the board of supervisors, but for everyone else.
Mr. Rosen, we need a motion to adjourn for the PC. Oops. I'm sorry, hold on. I'm sorry, I can't hear. Excuse me, give me 1 second. Mr. Allen, you made the motion. And who seconded? Mr. Meadows, thank you so much. Mr. Matt Seal?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Donahue?
Yes.
Mr. Kevin Meadows?
Yes.
Mr. Hubert Allen?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Rosen?
Yes.
Thank you.
And EDA, not EDA.
I'm moving the EDA adjourned.
Second. I didn't hear who seconded.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Seal?
Yes.
Mr. Ennis?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes.
Mr. Mozingo?
Yes.
Thank you. All right. Never take a 10-minute recess. That will allow us.